Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. There are few cabinet positions that have more impact on Native America than the Secretary of the Interior. Representative Ryan Zinke is President Donald Trump's pick for the job. The congressman represents Montana's only spot in the U.S. House of Representatives and is well known to Montana tribes. After several hours of Senate hearings, we have a better idea of his views and we'll discuss them today. That's next after National Native News. Stick with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. The Native American Journalists Association says the arrest this week of a working journalist at the North Dakota pipeline protests is unlawful and a violation of free press principles. Morton County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested reporter Jenny Monet along with 75 others. They were taken into custody while protesters were assembling a new camp on what officials say is private land. Monet, who has covered the protests on location for numerous news organizations, including National Native News, was on assignment for Indian Country Media Network. NAJA President Brian Pollard says Monet's arrest is in keeping with a pattern by Morton County law enforcement to try and prevent the press from documenting their actions.
I think it's more important than ever that journalists go there and document what's happening. But I think it should be said that any journalist who goes there to cover what's happening at Standing Rock needs to go there understanding that they are entering something that is resembling a war zone.
Pollard says Monet is a clearly credentialed journalist who has covered the events in North Dakota for months. He says officials need better awareness in order to distinguish reporters from protesters.
The officials in charge either have not trained their forces properly or simply don't care that that's an illegal action and a violation of the First Amendment.
Monet texted her editors before she was arrested, saying she was unable to get away from the sweep of officers taking protesters into custody. Indian Country Media Network demanded Monet's release and the dismissal of all pending charges. This week, a jury in Morton County, North Dakota, found 8 pipeline protesters guilty of disorderly conduct. They were among the first people arrested in the months-long action to resist the pipeline construction under the Missouri River. The Bismarck Tribune reports none of the 8 will serve jail time, but all were given fines under $1,800. One defense attorney tells the paper the fines are among the highest he's seen in his 20-year career for similar offenses. The defendants were arrested during a confrontation with law enforcement officials last August. The Seattle City Council is set to vote Monday on whether to end a $3 billion contract with financial institution Wells Fargo. A council committee approved the action this week because Wells Fargo is a lender for the Dakota Access Pipeline project. The committee says it wants the city to consider other financial institutions more in tune with social justice issues. In a written statement, Wells Fargo maintains the company is committed to environmental sustainability and human rights, and they will respect all views expressed by tribal governments and others in the Dakota Access Pipeline dispute. The company said it is also committed to upholding its legal obligations under the credit agreement related to the pipeline project. More than ever, now is a critical time to protect Native American rights through advocacy and education. That's the message from Native scholars at the American Indian Studies Association Conference in Albuquerque this week. Cheryl Bennett is assistant professor at Arizona State University who studies contemporary Indian issues. She says recent moves by the Trump administration have a clear effect on Native Americans and other people of color.
People that are saying let's give the administration a chance are white people, essentially, or people that don't feel threatened by the administration. With the past few weeks, we've seen a flurry of executive orders that target the other. They target Muslims, they target Native Americans, and it's not too surprising. Some of us in Indian country weren't surprised at all, especially those of us that study federal Indian policy. We know that these policies about American Indians could fluctuate on the whim of whoever's in power.
It's the 18th year for the annual conference. This year's agenda includes a session on indigenous resistance and healing as a way to answer what organizers say is continued violent attacks against language, culture, identity, and sovereignty. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. What can a former Navy SEAL and U.S. representative do for the U.S. Department of the Interior? That's among the questions Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke has had to answer in front of Senate committees in recent weeks after his nomination by President Donald Trump to head the department. Next step for him is confirmation by the Senate. And Zinke has more experience when it comes to Indian country than many other elected officials, as many are saying. And he has earned praise for reaching out to Montana's 7 federally recognized tribes. He fended off a challenge for his seat in November by Denise Juneau, a member of the Mandan Hidatsa tribes and a descendant of the Blackfeet tribe. And we have a better picture of his views on many major Native issues after several hours of confirmation hearings. And of course, there's still more to learn. We'll hear some highlights throughout the hour. And to start off, we turn to his answer to the question, why do you want this job?
I love my country. And I love public lands. And I love Teddy Roosevelt's idea that we should think bold and big and prepare for the future. And this job I take very seriously, if confirmed, because it's all that. Our country loves our parks and our lands. Our nation should be better equipped, our Indian tribes with the ability for self-determination. And when the Department of Interior has an influence over a fifth of our territory, that means influencing the beaches in Maine with clams, to our fisheries outside of Hawaii, and even in this body, we're all different, but we all share a common purpose, to make our country great again. And I think as a Secretary of Interior, I think I'll have inherited 70,000 hard-charging, dedicated professionals that want to do the same thing. And my task is to organize for a better future for Interior and our country. I'll work with anybody.
And what do you think about Representative Ryan Zinke, especially what you just heard? What do you think about him as the pick for the Secretary of the Interior? Call us and share your thoughts. The number is 1-800-99-NATIVE or 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go more to what he told folks at the hearing. Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota asked Congressman Zinke if he would ensure the rule of law when it comes to protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Zinke said he would.
I have great respect for the Indian Nations. I'm adopted to Assiniboine. Last time the Sioux Nations all got together, I would say General Custer probably would say that was not a good issue. So you look at this, and there is deep cultural ties. There is a feeling like that we haven't been a fair consultant and a fair partner. And so I think we need to listen to that voice. And that's part of the trust, is that, you know, outside of Washington, D.C., when you start going west to North Dakota, there is a lot of anger. There's a lot of mistrust, not everywhere, but enough where I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we need to be better partners. We need to work together. We need to work together as a Congress. We all rise and fall on the same tide. And we all love our public lands, and the duty of Department of Interior as a secretary is to make sure we have broad consensus of what we're doing. And every state's different.
And again, you just heard Congressman Ryan Zinke. He is the nominee for the next U.S. Department of Interior head. And if there's anything you'd like to share, give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And what do you think about what he said about listening to the voice of Native Nations? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to welcome in our first guest. We're going to go to Billings, Montana, to say good day to Gerald Gray. He is the chairman of the Little Shell Chippewa Tribe. And it's our pleasure to welcome back Chairman Gray. Chairman Gray, thank you for being with us.
You bet.
And Chairman, you've worked with Congressman Zinke on federal recognition for your tribe. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, when Congressman Zinke was first in Congress, the first bill he introduced was the Little Shell Restoration Act, which is giving us federal recognition to my tribe. Congressman Zinke has been a great friend and an ally to my tribe. We've been able to count on him, you know, to advance my people's cause. And we think he's a really good pick by President Trump.
All right. Thank you for that. And there's two ways to get federal recognition, one through Congress and the other through the Bureau of Indian Affairs. What do you think Congressman Zinke will support for your efforts through the BIA?
You know, it's kind of early to tell, but you know, we think that that he will, push and do the right thing for us. We do know he'll give us a fair shake and definitely fight hard. Not knowing exactly the route that he could take, I do believe that as the Secretary of Interior, he could waive regulations and recognize us.
And so as you think about other issues, maybe some you've even worked on or had a conversation with Representative Zinke, anything you want to share about what to expect?
We did talk a little bit about the federal lands. And, you know, we do know Congressman Zinke values and respects federal lands, especially here in Montana. I mean, that's a big thing. And, you know, he wants to ensure that they're preserved, of course, for future generations, but, you know, also being used responsibly by this current generation. We know he's an avid hunter and fisherman, just like myself, and enjoys that kind of stuff and respects that stuff.
And anything, talking about views on hunting and fishing, I know people have taken a look at him on his stance on grizzlies. Any thoughts on that?
I don't have a thought on that. I tell you the truth, I don't know what was said about that in terms of the grizzlies. I know the Little Shell, we did sign the treaty to protect the grizzly bear that was made its way through the tribes out here.
All right. Thank you for that. And maybe that's one of your concerns or something you're watching as Representative Zinke makes his way to being nominated or being confirmed. You can give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And now, Chairman Gray, your outlook as how he would serve as Secretary of the Interior.
Well, I think you'd be a great person in that position. An important position because it does affect a lot of land across the West and even throughout the East a little bit. For Indian people, you know, he knows our people. He grew up in Montana. He's worked with the tribes out here. He understands, you know, wildlife management. I really think he'll do a good job.
All right. Thank you for that, Chairman Gray. And we want you to hang out with us this hour as we continue to hear more. Let's go back to more of Representative Zinke's words when he was in the confirmation hearings. Senator Maria Cantwell, who ultimately voted against Zinke, asked him about the proposed Gateway Pacific Terminal at Cherry Point in Washington State. The Army Corps of Engineers halted the federal permitting process last year for the terminal over treaty rights with the Lummi Nation. The Lummis contested the project because the area's cultural significance. And the Crow Nation of Montana supported the project because coal mined from the reservation could be exported through the terminal. Here's Congressman's response.
On the Gateway, Pacific Gateway Terminal, what I raised my eyebrows strongly on is I didn't take a position whether yes or no in the terminal. I took a position to make sure the NEPA process was followed and the EIS was completed before making a judgment. What I found was we were close to ending the NEPA process with the EIS after years and millions of dollars were spent on it. And then that was truncated and stopped by affidavits. And I didn't judge whether the affidavits from the tribe were true or not true. It just, if you don't finish the NEPA process and don't finish an EIS, and then all of a sudden that process can be interrupted and a permit can be pulled on the basis of something outside the EIS, why would you ever consent to spend millions of dollars on an EIS? That was my objection. I don't mean to speak for Senator.
So you believe in the tribal sovereignty of the Lummi tribe to object in this case?
They certainly had every right to object, as well as in this case the Crows, who also have a treaty obligation. So I also found that you were picking one tribe over another, and believe me, I'm from a state where great tribes are great warrior tribes. Tribes are not monolithic, even in Montana.
And as of now, the project is on hold. And during the election, President Donald Trump had promised to bring coal production back to the United States. So many people are taking a close eye at this nomination, as well as what it'll mean for reviving coal coming out of our country. Give us a call if you'd like to share, 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go now to another voice who's joining us today. I'd like to go ahead and say hello to Mark Azure. He is the president of the Fort Belknap Indian Community Tribal Council, and he is Assiniboine. Thank you for joining us today, President Azure.
Good morning. Thank you.
And, President, any comments on what you've heard so far and any of the words that Zinke presented to the hearing?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I'd like to say good morning to the other gentleman on the call, Chairman Gerald Gray, good friend of mine. And I think some of my discussion will mirror Chairman Gray's, but I think that we are pleased out here in Montana, the tribes, that Congressman Zinke was nominated. As Chairman Gray stated, the congressman grew up here in Montana. There are seven reservations here in the state. We all have our unique issues, but they sometimes run parallel. They're similar. And that the congressman has been educated as much as possible in the last 3 years in his position as our lone representative, and we want to continue to bring our unique issues from each reservation on our water issues, land, sovereignty, treaty rights, and sometimes that plays into the soundbite you just played, where you almost have one tribe up against another. And that Congressman Zinke's role at the top of Interior isn't going to be as easy as some might make it out to be sitting at the top. There are a lot of complex issues, but I can tell you that the tribes here in Montana, for the most part, are pleased that we'll have somebody that knows the issues at Fort Peck aren't the same at Fort Belknap. The issues at Crow aren't the same as the issues in Blackfeet country, but they're all important. And that he is somebody that understands to this point how complex those can be. And we want to extend to the congressman that we are ready, willing, and able, wherever he needs us to go, to educate members of Congress or the new administration on our issues.
So you see this as an open door. And I think something noteworthy is during the hearings, he said sovereignty should mean something. And a lot of people picked up on that, especially on social media and thinking about this. Knowing that somebody is possibly going to be in that seat, President Azur, saying something like sovereignty should mean something, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel that there's some promise there, that I hope those just aren't empty words he's saying to the committee that there's, and I believe that there is some weight behind that, and that because he knows in visits, at least from Fort Belknap, that's what we stand on. That's what we demand when we're in his office or he's in our tribal council chambers, that the treaty that we have is still valid, and sovereignty is still something that we expect to have, the government-to-government relationship. And I think with some of the earlier sound bites and discussion on the show today is that the new administration it seems like they don't necessarily are following those words that the representative was talking. So there's a lot of work to do. And we're ready to get out there wherever we're needed to help him educate the members of Congress on issues out here with large land-based tribes in the West, in Indian country.
Thank you for that, President Azur. And folks, as you hear more, learn more about Representative Zinke, if there's anything you'd like to share, we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about him being the pick for Interior Secretary? 1-800-996-2848. And President Azur, any thoughts on his stance with coal or even his history?
You know, because I don't have that resource on Fort Belknap, it is here in Montana on the Crow Reservation. And I think that in his comments and discussion that he wants to support that. He wants to allow the Crow tribe the ability to develop that coal. And they should be allowed to do that under, again, the government-to-government relationship, the treaty, the sovereignty. And it's not as easy as it sounds to say we're going to allow the Crow tribe to develop that coal, because there are so many things in between. And it sounds like in the confirmation hearing, which I didn't get to see, there was an issue right off the bat with another tribe in another state. So it's a very unique that particular situation. And there's going to be a lot of work that's going to go into helping the Crow tribe develop their coal.
Definitely. There's a lot of layers to that. And we also heard him mention he was adopted Assiniboine. President Azur, any thoughts on that or backstory you'd like to share?
Sure. I hopefully we can get some clarity to that. How that came about was, as everybody should know, the congressman was a Navy SEAL. And I believe at some point in his career, he worked at the facility where Navy SEALs are trained. And one of our enrolled members from Fort Belknap, Mr. Ted Bell, his son was in that training cycle when Representative Zinke was the commander there or served in some capacity there. And once in the cycle, this young gentleman, whose name is Mike Bell, very well-respected Indian warrior in that training, He completed the training, but during the cycle, he had doubts. Could he do it? Could he get there? And so Representative Zinke kind of stepped in and told him, just give it one more day, give it one more day. And finally, it was the end of the cycle, and Mike Bell graduated. He was a Navy SEAL, and he had come home on leave, and he was on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, and a tragic event happened, and he lost his life. And I believe on the anniversary of that death, or sometime a year or two after that death, there was a ceremony conducted on Fort Peck. And Representative Zinke was invited. And at that time, Ted Bell, who's an enrolled Assiniboine at Fort Belknap, adopted Representative Zinke into his family, into the Fort Belknap Assiniboine tribe. And I know Representative Zinke takes that very serious, as we do. It's not every day that a tribe will adopt. So there's a lot of respect both ways there, and that we just hope that based on all of that, that unfortunate situation, but what that did was educate the representative on how we look at veterans in our tribes, our Indian communities, and that they're held in high regard. And I think he again, it was an education process for him. I know he holds that dear to his heart, and we hope that that helps when there are issues on the table with Congress, when he's sitting in front of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs or another committee, or even the president for that matter, and that he can pull from that and express our concerns and our issues, and that point can get across.
And, you know, as I hear that echoes a lot of times, as we've heard from tribal leaders, that there needs to be a clear understanding of our Native nations, because that's, you know, when decisions are being made, that becomes a huge key in understanding why you're deciding. I do appreciate you sharing that with us. We're going to pause here for a break. We're going to continue speaking with our guest today, and we'll hear more from the hearing that took a look at Representative Ryan Zinke as being the new head of the Department of Interior. Folks, we know you're thinking something. What about calling in and telling us a little bit about what's on your mind? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. You can also send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's where you find us on Twitter. We look forward to your calls. Phone lines are open. Give us a ring. Losing interest in things you once enjoyed is one sign of depression. It's a common form of mental illness, and many people experience it at least once in their lifetime, including citizens of Native nations. On the next Native America Calling, we're focusing on depression and the stigmas that are associated with it, and hope you'll join us for the discussion.
I'm Michael, a Tlingit and a native of Alaska. Some people in my tribe called me a ghost walker. That's because smoking gave me COPD. That's a disease that makes it harder and harder to breathe, and you can die. My COPD is so bad, my doctor gave me 5 years to live, if I'm lucky. That's why I'm called a ghost walker. And this is the path I have to walk down. My lungs keep getting worse. My chances of getting transplants are shrinking. And the time I have to spend with my family and all of the people I love is slipping away. This is what's left of my life now because of smoking. My tip for you is to quit smoking now and live your life as a person, not as a walking ghost.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thanks for joining us today as we take a look at the potential Secretary of the Interior. And as we move further into the year, we'll continue to cover the Trump administration's positions and policies that affect Native nations. And if there's something you think needs a closer look, shoot us an email. You send them to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And Congressman Ryan Zinke is on the path to becoming the new Secretary of the Interior. The department oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Bureau of Indian Education, and it's also responsible for the management of public federal land. And we want to hear from you today. Does the Secretary of the Interior affect you personally? Do you care who's nominated? Give us a call and share. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And we're going to go ahead and go back to more audio that Representative Zinke, that features him in his hearing on being the nomination for this position. He did display a command of the issue of tribal water rights settlements in responding to a question from Arizona Senator Jeff Flake.
I view water compacts as a treaty obligation, and I think we need to uphold our part of that treaty obligation. The water compacts, as you know, are difficult. They involve the state, the tribes, and the federal government, and then within the federal government, it's not easy. But I do recognize the importance of working with you on the compacts and also the importance of getting them resolved. They are a liability that's out there. We need to recognize they are a liability. They're not an earmark. It's a treaty obligation, and let's work together to get them done.
All right. Your thoughts on that? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Let's hear what people are thinking in our listening audience. We're going to go ahead and say hello to Kathy in Pendleton, Oregon, tuned in on KSWO. Thank you for joining us, Kathy, and you're on air.
Oh, hi, this is Kathy Sampson-Cruzy. I'm an enrolled member of the Walla Walla tribe. We have a confederate tribes of Umatilla, Walla Walla, and Cayuse here in Nisqually country. And hello, Tara. With all due respect to the chairman of the Little Shell Tribe, I was so happy that Senator Cantwell is opposing this nomination. We stand with the Lummi. The affiliated tribes of the Northwest Indians stand with the Lummi. And we know that coal is a bad thing for our Mother Earth. If anybody follows Bill McKibben's 350 work and follow the math, Naomi Klein's This Changes Everything, Josh Fox's movies on fracked gas that is happening with Pawnee Nation, we realize that climate deniers are out there, and we simply have to hold that thin green line here in the Pacific Northwest so that extreme fossil fuel infrastructures are not built. We're working right now. We have over 100 signatures from our small community and tribal members because Portland General Electric has to close down their coal plant here within our ceded boundaries at Boardman, Oregon, in 2020. What they're supposed to do is transition to green, sustainable energy, more wind and more solar. But recently, this last November, they put out a document public document where they want to look at an option of what they're calling natural gas-fired plants. It's called Boardman Cardi 2 and 3. These two facilities would last for 20 to 30 years. And what they're not letting the public know is more than 50% is not natural gas. It's fracked gas.
And, you know, Kathy, I'm definitely going to have to look into that. Thank you for sharing that with us today. And, Kathy, I want to go ahead and go to more of Zinke's words that might be of interest to you. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders took on the issue of climate change with Zinke, and the senator asked him if he viewed climate change as a hoax.
The best answer is three things. First of all, climate is changing. That's undisputable. I'm from Glacier National Park.
And you don't have any more glaciers there, huh?
Well, and I've seen glaciers over the period of my time recede. Matter of fact, when my family and I have eaten lunch on Grinnell Glacier, the glacier has receded during lunch.
All right, but I have, if you could,
yep.
Is the president-elect right? Is climate change a hoax?
Well, if I can continue, two more points, I'll make it short. The second thing is man has had an influence. I think that's undisputable as well. So climate is changing, man has an influence. I think where there's debate on it is what that influence is, what can we do about it? And as the Department of Interior, I will inherit, if confirmed, the USGS. We have great scientists there. I'm not a climate scientist expert, but I can tell you I will become a lot more familiar with it, and it'll be based on objective science. Right, I don't believe it's a hoax. I believe we should...
You do not believe it's a hoax.
No, I believe we should be prudent to be prudent. That means I don't know definitively. There's a lot of debate on both sides of the aisle.
Well, actually, there's not a whole lot of debate now. The scientific community is virtually unanimous that climate change is real and causing devastating problems. There is a debate on this committee, but not within the scientific community.
And this interaction was heavily covered in the media. A lot of people picked up on his response to this. Zinke also told Senator Sanders that he would encourage wind and solar. Senator Sanders also asked him if he would be privatizing national parks. Zinke responded, he's absolutely against the public sale of these lands. There was a lot that happened, and we're doing our best to bring you as much of what Zinke said that is connected to our Native nations during his hearing. And if there's anything you'd like to pick up on, or maybe something that caught your ear that we haven't covered yet, call in, talk about it. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And now we're going to go to Little Canada, Minnesota, to say good day to Chris Stainbrook. He is the president of the Indian Land Tenure Foundation, and Chris is Oglala Lakota. Thank you for being with us, Chris.
Thank you.
And Chris, I'm sure you are definitely watching all of this and paying a close eye on what's being said and thinking about what's coming next once we nominate the new Secretary of the Interior or confirm the Secretary of Interior. Is there anything you'd like to share just how significant this role is, especially in the work you do?
Well, first, let me say hello to the chairman and the president. It's good to be on with them. I would say that we have been watching this process unfold with a fair bit of trepidation, and then compared to watching the other nominations that the Trump administration has been making, I would be in agreement with both the chairman and the president in that Representative Zinke is someone who we believe we can work with, and I think it's important to note that, for one, he understood the intimate relationship between Custer and the Great Sioux Nation. The other thing that I think is important is that he recognizes that tribes are different. And as you think about his comments around the Cherry Point issue and suggesting that Crow also has treaty rights, he recognizes that Lummi had them and that Crow had them, but I think there's some education to be done there about how far do treaty rights extend when they interact with other tribes. I think, though, the fact that he recognizes that tribes are different perhaps we can have a conversation with Representative Zinke when he becomes Secretary Zinke about having true nation-to-nation relationships, as opposed to in the past, we've oftentimes had nation-to-nations, and they treat all Indian tribes and Native nations in the same manner with a single policy. I think that's an important distinction that we could hopefully work with Representative Zinke to get that understanding throughout. The other piece that he alluded to in several parts of his testimony before the Senate was trust and getting out there and building trust. And he was talking about it on a very personal level of having Indian people trust him. I think he missed an opportunity to remind the senators that, in fact, there's a trust responsibility with the Department of Interior, for that matter, with the entire U.S. government to the tribes. And I would hope that he would become an advocate for reminding those in the other departments within the federal government that there is, in fact, a trust responsibility, and they're also responsible for upholding that trust responsibility.
And, you know, when he was asked about the Aleut King Cove community and a road that they are pushing for, his response was, "You have my absolute commitment to restore trust and work with you," meaning one of the senators on this issue connected to Alaska. So, you know, he did say that specifically. Chris, go ahead. Any other thoughts?
Well, I think that the other piece, and this, of course, is Representative Zinke is a politician, right? And so at times it leaves a little question about, are we being told something that may not play out in the long run? But around climate change and his answers to Senator Sanders, he went further than I think anybody else, any of the other nominees would even dare to go, and that's, he said, it's not a hoax, and that man has an impact, and it's undisputable. So, and given the person that he's going to be reporting to, I thought that was out there substantially and putting it right out front. Now, the last thing I would say was important to us was his position on accessing or disposing of federal property, as several states have been pushing to have the states receive some of the federal lands. And for Indian tribes across the country who have treaty rights, hunting, fishing, and gathering treaty rights, those treaty rights can be applied on open and unclaimed land, basically federal lands. And if they go to the state ownership, that would change the exercising of those treaty rights. And he made it very clear in several pieces of his testimony that he was very much against disposing of federal properties. And I think that's a very important piece for the tribes.
You know what? Let's go to more of his words, kind of connected to this. Folks, again, if you want to join us, all you got to do is pick up the phone. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And we look forward to what you're thinking about all this. And if you are finding this program in our archives, you can also comment directly on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And you can send us a tweet or find us on Facebook. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the number, as well as our Twitter handle. Zinke said he favors local and state control when it comes to land issues. Utah Senator Mike Lee questioned Zinke about the recent National Monument Declaration from President Obama for the area known as Bear's Ears.
I view it's absolutely critical to have state and local support on a monument that they participate in. In the case of Salt Lake or Utah, is that I'm concerned about the schools and the funding mechanism that the schools are. That's been largely taken away, as I understand. So that's a concern. But if you start at the local community level, the grassroots, and you build and there's participation, then we get ahead of the problem. As a military, a former military officer, you plan. And planning prevents a lot of miscues in execution. And part of the planning process is go out, get community support, make sure your governor and your elected leaders are behind you, and then petition, talk to the president who makes the decision, and everyone should be on the same page, or at least about on the same page.
All right. And if you want to share anything on that, 1-800-996-2848. We're going to go now to Aneth, Utah, to say hello to Davis Philfred. He's a member of the Navajo Nation 23rd Council, and he is Navajo. Davis, thank you for being with us today.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing good. And I guess since time is ticking, we're getting close to the end of the hour. Any thoughts on what you just heard, Zinke, in response to Senator Lee?
I did. I was told that he is a very approachable person and that he's willing to sit down and listen. And I was told that he's more of a listener than a talker, which is, in my book, is what we want. I got a chance to meet him very briefly at the Native American Veterans honoring at the Native American Museum during the inauguration. And I did shake his hand, and I do have a picture with him. And I gave him my card regarding the Bear Ears National Monument that was signed into proclamation by President Obama using the Antiquities Act. And I told him that we needed his support. And he told me himself that that is his priority at the top of his list. And I'm thinking that as soon as he is confirmed, but at that time he said that he'll be out here within 2 weeks. So whenever he's confirmed, if he's not. So we're looking forward to meeting him. And he told me himself that he would walk the place of the Bear Ears. Bear Ears National Monument is a very unique thing. We have a coalition from the Navajo Nation, from the Hopi, the Zuni, the Utes, and the Uintas, the Orays. It's been an ongoing issue for almost a decade now, if not over a decade. And it went into a lot of it's a very controversial issue, but we're fighting for our culture, or language, or heritage. So we really need his support. I have yet to really sit down with him, and we just want him to be, we want the coalition and our tribes to be heard. And I want him to take a position and really stand and fight for us.
And Davis, it's interesting, too, you know, as we take a look at this and how it was presented in the hearing from Senator Lee. It sounded like Senator Lee was against this and encouraging Zinke to come out and speak with, as many are saying, the grassroots. And recently, the Utah House is urging Trump, the administration, to undo Bears Ears National Monument. We have these things on the table, too. And Davis, your thoughts on this. Can this designation be undone by President Trump or his administration? Are you thinking about that?
I think the word extortion comes to mind, using him as a leverage, saying that, we'll confirm you if you want to undo the Bear Ear, because that's what I'm hearing that's his doing. And undoing the Antiquities Act calls for more than a lawsuit, in my opinion, because it's never been undone. And I understand that there's provisions saying that you can't undo it. And we're thinking that it's written in, you know, it's written in there that it can't be undone.
All right. But, and go ahead. Anything else, Davis?
Yes. And I understand they're going to try to shrink the land itself by almost 1,000 or a million acres. So they're really against us, and they never came to us. Mike Lee himself, I don't know him personally. I don't know Rob Bishop himself. They never called me. They never talked to or negotiated with the Navajo Nation. I am the person. I speak for the Navajos on the Utah side, her president of the Navajo Nation. And they never invited me to their cabin level to testify on anything. So I have yet to sit down with them.
And at this point, you know, people are just putting the pieces together and, you know, figuring out more about this. And we're definitely going to have to look more into that issue of shrinking. Chris, is there anything you want to share on this about undoing bears' ears?
Well, I think Davis just covered it. It's it would be a major undoing of the Antiquities Act. And I think I'd be surprised if it can even get off the ground, frankly.
All right. Thank you for that. And Davis, anything else? Just thinking about a new person sitting there in the seat of Secretary of the Interior.
You know, the coalition was one of the things that we've done. These tribes never came together, and we're asking for people to stand with us and unite with us. And we're asking all our representatives or congressmen or leaders to stand with us. The Utah delegation is really against the Navajo Nation, even against the youth. They're trying to take land from them. And we want all these people in the higher echelon to really stand with us. I know our nation president said, let's make America great. And we're saying, make Indian country great again, too. And we're standing together. We just want our voices to be heard. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. And as we get ready to close out the hour, Chris, I want to turn to you. We didn't spend much time on this, and maybe it's a whole other show about how this will affect the BIA. Any thoughts on this about changing administrations?
Yeah, well, that could be a whole additional show, but it was interesting to hear him say that the BIA needs to be made better. Now, I'm not sure what his background or experience has been with looking at the BIA, but I do think there's an opportunity with Representative Singhi. When he appoints his assistant secretary and even his deputy secretaries in the interior to really consider what steps will be taken and will he be selecting the right people in order to make improvements in the BIA, and for that matter, how this administration will react to the Trust Reform Act that was passed late in 2016 and when which of those pieces will be implemented and how. I think it's an open slate at this point, and as I say, his appointments will be very telling toward that end.
And Chris, are you hearing any talk of who might fill that position? Got a crystal ball?
I've heard of a couple people, but I'm not at liberty to and give their names out. I do think they are folks who would bring a change type of atmosphere to the Department of Interior and to BIA.
And let's end on treaty rights. Any thoughts of the role of the Interior holding up treaty rights?
That's going to be a real question, and I think that's one where the experiences of the Montana tribes with Representative Zinke give insight to him personally. Now, it's a bigger administration than just the Department of Interior, and how all that plays out will be seen. But I'm presuming, given the president's adversarial past relationships with the tribes, that upholding treaty rights is probably not going to be on the top of their agenda, and it may it may take a hit. Let's put it that way.
And just what about also, I guess, you know, since we're looking at this, the flow of information, the Secretary of the Interior working and answering to the president. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think under the Trust Reform Act, there was a position for a deputy to focus clearly on trust relationship and matters. And I think that he could appoint someone there who could, in fact, help inform all of the other departments in the federal government and become a leadership position as opposed to simply within the Department of Interior. I think Representative Zinke is bringing, of course, some amount of cachet from the House of Representatives into the administration, and hopefully we'll be able to push back on some of the pieces that don't align with treaty rights and the trust relationship when he reports to the president.
All right. Thank you for that, Chris Stainbrook. That's going to wrap it up for our discussion today. And folks, we will definitely keep our eye on this and look forward to hearing what you think about it. Continue to talk about this by sending us an email, comments at Native America Calling, or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Also, thanks to our guests, Chairman Gerald Gray, President Mark Azure, and Davis Phil Fred. We're back on Monday with a show about mental health. Thanks to the Native America Calling crew, our executive producer Art Hughes, senior producer Monica Brain, associate producer Andy Murphy, and engineer Derek Toledo. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host and producer, Tara Gatewood, and that's going to wrap it up for this week. But we will be back on Monday with another great discussion that we hope you'll be a part of. And if you want to know more about next week, visit our website and sign up for our weekly newsletter. NativeAmericaCalling.com is our website. Thanks a lot. We're back on Monday.
Buju, gida na damage jigikain dagwak, apitain dagwak, jimino ayamagak o de anishinabe kwe. Dange gwenain again, jiganoen dagwazien. Ganoj 1-800-318-2596, gema mawadishuen, healthcare.gov, gaund in agadeg the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Support by Amerind Media, offering Native Flicks featuring compelling films, TV series, and documentaries about Indigenous peoples worldwide. We support and source content from filmmakers working in Indigenous communities and are honored to share their cultures, traditions, and stories at NativeFlicks.com. Half of all profits from Native Flicks subscriptions bought through the end of February will be donated to Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Start your free 30-day trial today and get 10% off the first 6 months of service using promotion code ALLNATIONS2017.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.